This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
Stop trying to find your expert in your town. Stop trying to wait until it's the person that's doing everything perfectly. Environmentalism's got lots of different hats and looks different for different people. And by the time you get to 3,500, you've got 3,500 people doing amazing bits in their own way coming together, and that's powerful. But whilst you're waiting for one person or a group of people to be doing everything perfectly in order to be a legitimate hub, you'll be waiting forever.
Hello and welcome to this Tread Lightly podcast from us at the Raynham Eco Hub. My name is Kaylee.
And I'm Liz.
And this podcast is where we delve a little bit deeper into those conversations with local everyday heroes that are doing small and impactful changes. We hope that you get as much out of this as me and Liz do, and that you also laugh just as much too.
What would it look like to set up an eco hub within your town or community?
Are you like me, love meeting new people and also care about the environment?
And would you believe it if we told you that everything you needed to set up an eco hub is already available to you on your doorstep?
So join us for this episode where we give you three simple tips that we would suggest to anybody wanting to do exactly that. Oh my life.
Are you excited?
A little bit.
I'm excited today as well.
I feel like the conversation around enabling core community action is like what gets my heart and my belly on fire.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, this one, hasn't it? I feel like we've talked more about doing the podcast than the length of this podcast is going to be. It's been such a long time coming. So many things have been flying around. That
my brain is buzzing.
Talk to me. What are we talking about today?
We get questions, messages, emails from people who want to have local environmental action in their towns, in their places of work, in their places of school, like whatever setting. And they come to us and they're like, how do we get what Raynham has? And do you feel a little bit like a fraud? Because,
yeah, I feel like, I don't even feel like anyone can do it. I think that's what I kind of want to come back and say. But there obviously is more to kind of unpick about why Raynham has been so kind of engaged in this environmental space. And it does really interest me because people come from all over the place, don't they? Being like, this would work really well in our village, but I don't really know how to get started and that side of things.
And I love it. And I think like we always say that we're like not the experts, but I feel like we're so good now. I would never have been able to say this a couple of years ago, but I feel like we're good now for holding space for people to and facilitate those conversations around what their setting looks like and just asking the right questions to kind of help them be guided about what's right for their community. Because I don't think anybody can go and say, yep, I can come in and I can work with your community and I can be an expert and tell you exactly what you need to do. Because every single place is like so different, isn't it?
I remember when we first started and we chatted to the lovely ladies in Shrewsbury Cup. They've got a really good system where you pick up a reusable cup at any of the coffee shops. You can walk through the beautiful old streets and then you drop it into any other coffee shop that you see. And we're like, I'd love to do that. And we tried to do it, but actually our town is like a centre. It's not linear and people don't tend to kind of stroll and walk. It's not a tourist destination. And so in reality, that just didn't really quite work for our town in the same way it worked for Shrewsbury, but go Shrewsbury. That was awesome. And it works for them. And I think quite early on, we realised kind of just replicating for replicating's sake wasn't necessarily right. It was about looking at what your community looks like and what good's going to look like in your town. And that isn't the same for everybody, did you?
Yeah. I feel like we've discovered just by going along that we really started to realise the power of micro-localism, if that's even a word, where we were just looking on our doorstep for what was going well and we were looking on our doorstep for the answers and for the talents and gifts that's like withheld here.
Yeah.
That was just untapped and kind of like unknown. And I feel like that's been an absolute power game changer for
totally,
us.
Yeah.
And it's always good to look for inspiration and look for outside ideas and stuff. I've been reading so much lately around how you need to grow inside out rather than outside in.
Tell me about that.
essentially look at what you've got on your doorstep and start looking at what's strong and not what's wrong. There are so many people that, and we know this for sure, that have got gifts and talents that are just unused. And even worse than being unused, they're unknown.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I think so.
So like local residents, local businesses, schools, whatever, everybody has got a gift within them. Everyone's got a talent. And most people want to share that because most people want to help other people, right? Yeah. And if you have a hub like we have that kind of wants to learn and meet these people and kind of help them connect with other people that they can use their skill and their talent, I think it's just so powerful and just so wonderful. And being able to grow that from the inside, from our town, and then be able to grow that out, which I feel like we've been able to do, where other hubs have then been able to spout off from that and not replicate what we do, but do what they feel is right for their community.
Yeah.
And I think it's just that sort of stuff, that grassroots, low-level stuff is exactly where change happens. And that's where you're going to start seeing, dare I say it, a bit of a revolution. I think where local people start realising the power that they have within themselves to kind of create the change.
Yeah.
Boom, have that.
Bosh, I love that.
Do you know what I mean?
I do. And I think, if we take, for example, Maidstone's kind of a good example. Maidstone is enormous as a town, and we were working closely with the Maidstone Eco Hub when they were first setting up. But because it's such a massive, sprawling town, we had conversations, didn't we, around, you know, small pockets are going to be where the community's at rather than necessarily looking at a whole town.
Yeah.
And then you've then got Kings Hill, you've got Biersted. You've kind of got the town centre as such. There's almost three within a town because those big sprawling towns look, their communities look so different to a smaller town like ours. And so we've even kind of learned along the way around just naming it after your town isn't even necessarily quite right, is it?
Well, no, because even if you look at like Raynham, we've got around 32,000 people in our town, which is quite big, which is quite, you know, quite huge. And even within that, okay, we've got one, the Raynham Eco Hub, as an umbrella of that. But even alongside that, there are so many pockets of communities that want to go even deeper and smaller.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where the power happens. Because even, you know, even one town which is smaller than Maidstone, you know, that's, the more you drill down and the more that you get connected,
yeah,
that's where I think the change and the connectedness happens. Because I think when you're connected as a community, you become stronger, right? And then you become more resilient because that's what happens. I'm imagining now, like, you know, the, you know, all of those cheesy pictures you see when you see any community sort of like books or like, yeah, old, you know, the they always used to use the people with the hands holded.
Obviously, like, that's your classic logo. Yeah.
But really, that kind of does represent a whole load of stuff, because together you are stronger and therefore you are more resilient. And so trying to knock that down is going to be really harder, isn't it, than, yeah, trying to like knock one individual down.
Totally.
So, I'm a visual person, you see.
I like it though. But if you take green drinks in our town, so green drinks has been going really well for probably about a year and a half, maybe slightly longer.
When did we start? 2021.
2021. God. 3 years. Jesus Christ. So that is run by people who love connecting and going to the pub.
Yeah.
So there was no point that being started by me, because I'm quite an introvert and like I wouldn't seek that out as...
But do you know what's fascinating about green drinks? So I found out about green drinks by some, I now don't even know who she is, some random lady who was like, have you heard of green drinks? And it's an international organisation.
Yeah.
So they have a website where you can, each, you know, town, place, whatever, can sign up. And there is quite strict rules about green drinks around what it does, what its purpose is for, and how it's run.
Uh-huh.
And because when we started, it was in 2021, that was when all sort of like stuff had
all
been
bets
like
were
pushed
off
the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they wasn't even, you wasn't even able to register as a green drink sort of like host. So we just set it up anyway. And I don't want to rubbish any of the work this guy's done in setting up that movement, because it's amazing. But it's a really good example of, we've got green drinks in our town. It's not registered. It's not affiliated with anything. It's it is what it is. Just local people getting together over a bevy, just talking about local environmental issues. And I think that is kind of the crux of what we want to talk about today, which was if we could give three kind of like pointers to people when they come to us and say, I would really love to start some environmental action in my town. What do I do?
Yeah.
I think that's a really good example of how you don't need X, Y, and Z.
Permission.
You definitely don't need permission.
Experts. I guess that's what I guess maybe do we come from a place of kind of waiting for the experts or waiting for somebody to give us permission or ask us rather than just going, should we just kind of give it a go?
Yeah.
Because that was all it ever was, wasn't it? So when people are saying, how did it work? And we're like, just wondered if other people cared. And we've got 3,500 people that were like, yeah, we care.
Yeah, I care.
And you couldn't have called that, could you? Just being like, no, let's just give it a shot and let's just ask instead of waiting for somebody else to do it. I think growing up, kind of, well, going to the school, living where I used to live, there was a, I don't know if this is where I live or whether this is a 90s thing or whether
I'll tell you. Share.
We'll soon know once we compare it, won't we? There was always a perception that the older, the cleverer, the experts, there was the people that told you and then you listened. And so you had to wait till somebody gave you permission or gave you the answer for you to be either right or wrong. And I think it's probably only within the last 5 years or so, I'd say, where I feel genuinely comfortable in the space of being like, I think really differently from you, even though you are older, cleverer, you've got a stronger voice, you're more confident. And I think we're moving away from that. I think experts obviously have their place. But I think, you know, even with teaching now, there's a time where you'd go, what's the answer to this? And they'd go, this is the answer. And you'd go, oh, okay, silly me, this is the answer. Whereas now it's like, well, this is what I think, and this is what this guy thinks, and the guy over there thinks this. And actually, there's no definitive answer. I'll give you the example that I'm kind of referencing. So vegan shoes is kind of my first, like, vegan shoes are made from plastic, but they don't have leather that's polluted the water going through the tanneries, and it's not slaughtered an animal in order to get the leather, but it does create plastic, and plastic has its own issues. So I think previously you'd have gone, that's the better option, go with that. But actually, like, there's a crazy muddle in the middle, and being able to embrace that space and let everybody have a voice and go, I don't think that though, I think this. That's so important, do you think?
Yeah.
Are we moving away from the noisiest, most confident person in the room being the one that's got the answers?
I think that's long gone.
You think it's gone? I don't think it's gone yet.
Do you know?
No.
I think it depends on your mindset. So I think that I am really challenging. I mean, I have a different experience to you, right? So, so talking about how before experts, when you was younger, you would just go, oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Like, you know, I was brought up the complete opposite, into challenge everything.
Yeah.
And to challenge everything, especially if they think that they are right. Until I met you, I never really understood why that was such an important.
I wonder if that's why 5 years ago, I wonder why that's the number that I'm going, everything changed when I met Kaylee and went, no, it is right to challenge this.
I can't tell you. I mean, obviously my mum is like 100% to do with this, but I couldn't give you an exact example of where she would sit me down and go, right, Kaylee, I need you to know this. Or
yeah
I can't remember that, but I just think it was just ingrained in us that if somebody came and told you, yeah, I'm the expert and I know this and you need to do this because I said, we would always, I'm the eldest of seven, we'd always be encouraged to be like, what,
why?
That is so, who are you to say to me?
So progressive though.
But I think that now I sort of, we're all institutionalized, right? So I recognize as I say this that we're all institutionalized from the food that we eat and the mattress that I sleep on and all that sort of stuff, right? So I am as part of the institution as the next person. But I got so sort of stuck probably in my late 20s of thinking, I was starting to change my train of thought. So all the stuff my mum had taught me, I sort of was starting to change it. Maybe it was because of the work that I was doing at the time. I was working in juvenile criminal justice. And so I was very institutionalised working in that space.
Yeah, but challenged though, I bet, right? Challenged by people who didn't think
the
way that it's being done is the right thing. Because these poor kids are stuck in juvenile justice, probably with an absolute terrifying, heartbreaking story behind it, right?
Yeah, but I did start to kind of like think, you know, there are rules for a reason, you know, we have got people that kind of like do care and that, you know, they do know a bit more than what I do. They've got a degree. And I did sort of start to go down that road a little bit. And it's probably been like really in the last few years where I've been able to, and the same, and this is probably coincided with you and I meeting, where I have then sort of like asked those questions of like, oh yeah, I was brought up like that to challenge and to question and to like ask the questions that nobody else wants to ask. But here I am kind of like in a limbo and it
It's hard, isn't it? Because being that challenging person, so I had that in me at school, but I was told I was naughty and disruptive and I just needed to shut up and toe the line. But looking back, that's a really excellent way of making sure that your voice stays the biggest voice, doesn't it? And means that nobody who challenges, if you're told that you're naughty and disruptive and you just need to shut up, you're never going to be the person that picks up the flag and says, I really believe in this. And anyone else, you know, it stops action taking place if you think that just toeing the line and not questioning stuff and not being brave and putting yourself out there and testing the water, it keeps everybody at a status quo, which is where only the experts and the politicians and the big guys out there, they're the only ones with power. And that's terrifying, isn't it? Terrifying to think that they're the only ones that have got power to make change.
And if you, and that's where I think it's a mindset change that needs to happen. And I think it needs to come from being really open about having these conversations. And I think I always go back to that and reflected on that. Why do I always go back to that statement of we need to have more open and upfront conversations? And I think because that's what people are seeking. They're seeking authenticity, aren't they, of like how society should be working for the greater good and how just cuts the crap out. Yeah.
Do you want to live more sustainably, but you just don't know where to start?
Did you, like me, sign up for Veganuary and accidentally buy chicken sausages on day two?
Does the whole eco thing leave you feeling confused and sometimes overwhelmed? If so, this is the podcast for you.
Remember to check us out on our socials on Facebook and Instagram, The Raynham Eco Hub. So if people are listening to this then and going, okay, I hear your experience, maybe that's a little bit different to mine. I just see so much potential in my town for good environmental stuff. And I kind of want to make a bit of a difference. What is like your number one go-to that you would say, right, this is what I would do if I was you. Number one, what?
Go find your body.
Yeah.
Go find somebody else that you'll be like, want to be a bit scared and brave with me. Like, fancy like testing the water. Because if it wasn't for you, this would never have happened because it's scary space just to be like, anyone want to join my club? If we'd have consciously thought this through, I'd have been like, I need to go and find an environmental expert who wants to be my buddy. And I don't think that happened. We both just cared, didn't we? And so don't be scared, I guess, of finding your buddy as somebody who doesn't get recycling right and drives a diesel car.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you'd have judged me on my environmental kind of like stance at the time, I mean, I cared, I really cared actually, and I still obviously really do care, but I think my action at the time was so low level for where I was at, and there is 5 million reasons as to why that is, and I can probably make up another 5 million excuses for that, but you didn't judge me on that. And I think find somebody that you're able to have these open conversations with and go, you ready to have a little bit of an explore and see who else that we've got locally, whether that's in your school, whether that's in your work, do you know what I mean? Whether that's kind of just in your friendship circle, in your town, whatever setting that looks like, go find your person. That is a really good piece of advice. Number two then would be...
I think number two then is once you know, who else is doing good shit already? there will be people that are amazing at fixing stuff, at doing boot fairs, at, I don't know, running to work, whatever that looks like, occasional litter picking. Again, coming back to like, stop trying to find your expert in your town. Stop trying to wait until it's the person that's doing everything perfectly. Environmentalism's got lots of different hats and looks different for different people. And by the time you get to 3,500, you've got 3,500 people doing amazing bits in their own way coming together, and that's powerful. But whilst you're waiting for one person or a group of people, to be doing everything perfectly in order to be a legitimate hub. You'll be waiting forever. What do you think about that?
No, I think it's great. I think it goes into just connectedness, isn't it? I think it's about going out and connecting with other people that are on your doorstep. Like, there are some scary statistics about communities around people not even knowing the people in their street.
Yeah.
And kind of just not even knowing their names and stuff. I think street parties in our town's kind of helped with that in the last couple of years. But I think getting to know people and building relationships with people and kind of understanding what their passions are, what they care about, and the stuff that they kind of want to take action on. And, you know, sometimes I love meeting new people, don't I? It's one of my absolute joys in life is to go and, I mean, I would be an amazing networker, just saying. I
totally
love hobnobbing. Like, is that a thing anymore?
Yeah, just you are the queen of hobnob, aren't you?
I freaking love it. Like,
whereas I suck at it, but it's okay. We both don't do.
You do not suck at it.
I do. I've got too much of an RBF.
Can I tell you a quick story then, right? So I was my husband's plus one at this event, right? And I, you know what I'm like when I meet new people, I'm always like, this guy, I was like, oh, hello, how are you? I was like, oh, your trousers are well nice.
I was hoping you were going to talk about the trouser story because we probably can't share who it is, but if you imagine, it's not the guy. He was very, very senior and very, very serious, wasn't he?
He was very senior, but I didn't know, and obviously,
and I love that you didn't know, and that is the gold of being like, I like your trousers. Why can't you say that to somebody?
Well, I mean,
senior?
Partly, even if I did know who it was, you do know that I would still say it. But I didn't actually know who this guy was. I did just like the color of his trousers. They were like salmon. I have not seen a guy wear salmon trousers since probably about 1985. Anyway, as an aside, I said to him, oh, I like your trousers, they're well nice. He was like, oh, thank you, Marks and Spencer's. You can tell a lot by somebody's response to a real random question.
Vintage, they got a rip in the ass.
£2. and then basically he was like, oh, you're right, you know, blah, blah. I was like, yeah. I said, oh, this is a nice gaff, isn't it? It's like in this really grand place. I was like, oh, this is really nice. He was like, yeah, we've done a good, you know, a lot of work with this. I was like, oh, shut up. I was like, you don't own this, do you? Like, come on. I do this all the time wherever I go. And then he kind of then decided to tell me that he himself didn't own it, but the establishment that he was representing owned that and very many other things and buildings within the space that we were in.
But just so good that you just cut through that crap and were like, we're just having a conversation. I'm not lower than you. I don't need to wait for permission to talk to you.
No.
Compliment your trousers and ask you about your gaff.
Yeah. But he kind of just engaged in that conversation and it was fine. But I think I love that. I love just meeting new people. I think stories is kind of goes in with your suggestion of like connecting with other people, because I think communities are made up of stories so much. And I know you love like local history and all that sort of stuff. And I think it's so, so important that our communities are just so made up of all of these stories, whether some of them are, you know, a big folklore and stuff. But they're made up of these amazing stories. And I think they can be just so used for us to be able to kind of like see our future of kind of where we want to be.
Yeah.
And so, I think just go out and meet people. If you are like Liz and you know, that's not really your fan, you just basically need to find somebody like me that just is so ballsy, just goes up and says, all right, mate, I like trousers.
Like your trousers.
So,
but then I'm more into like, you know, somebody saw a badger in their garden and then they're like, oh my God, did you see that guy? I saw this. And then somebody else over there like went and did a litter pick and they found X, Y, and Z. And I like all that stuff. So I'm not necessarily kind of face to face, but that's still community being like, do you see that guy on the lower road had a badger in his garden? Did you see that this person here had like a sparrow hawk? All those kind of conversations.
But I guess my point is, absolutely. And I guess my point is if you are trying to find your other person to do it with, it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody that's like you. That's what I mean. Like we are chalk and cheese. And I think that's what is so good about it. Because the things that you're good at, I definitely am not, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Not even not good at, because I don't think that's fair to like beat ourselves up about it. But we're just different. We've got different skills.
And we needed to meet each other for different reasons, didn't we? Like it was
so
meant
beautiful.
To be.
Yeah.
Like if I'd have known you at school,
else. Your mum would have hated me.
Do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was that naughty kid that parents would be like, no.
I'd have been like, Kaylee, meet me underneath the bridge and bring vodka.
Vodka was my choice, actually, at the time. But, so number one then is find your person. Number two is go and connect with other people, go and find their stories, go and find the stuff that they're already doing and kind of connect up. Number three, what would you say?
So number three, you got to find your platform. So we went onto Facebook because we are classic Facebook territory, aren't we? But
middle age now, so
shut up.
I think that's basically where you are at, isn't it?
We've hit onto Insta and then we're like, we're all modern because we've done Instagram. But let's be real, right? If we're talking to people that are like savvy,
yeah.
What's wrong with YouTube, Snapchat,
exactly.
Like TikTok? Like,
but local, but if you want to connect locally, Facebook is sadly where it is.
But it depends. It depends what you're seeing as connecting within your community. If you're connecting within a school community, there is no point.
No.
Those young people set up a Facebook page because that isn't going to be where the community that they're talking to are talking.
Nope.
And so you may as well have, may as well have a Snapchat community. Like, I know what I'm talking about, but whatever works for them. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And like, even like there's like gaming communities or whatever else it looks like within certain kind of communities. It may not be physically within your town. The community could be the LGBT community. It could be a work community. It could be a church community. And so is that printed letter, is that notice boards, you know, it's so different for everybody depending on what you're defining as your community. Don't necessarily make it geographical, it could be
exactly
virtual, couldn't it?
And I think that's the gold of, you will have some people that would be, especially if they're in like a school or a business, you know, they might have an actual physical space where they are able to use that. We've got local schools here that have got been given, you know, a physical space where they're able to like operate from, and I think that's just amazing, isn't it? And it's, and yeah, you're right, they don't need to be the same as, you know, somebody else, because it is what works for your community. So you need to find your person, connect with other people, and work out what your platform is, or your kind of your space, really, where you want to connect with people. That's three things, and we've chucked in a whole load of other brain dump stuff as well from us, but we are really, really keen for more connectedness in our own town and meeting and learning from new people, because I think this is partly why I love meeting new people so much, is I learn so much. Just learn,
and that I think is also your gift, because you perhaps didn't come from a place where you had to go to an expert. You've taught me so much about learning from just everything and everywhere. Aww. And where you're picking learning up from, whereas I was led to believe that you waited until the experts told you, read it in a textbook, you learn it and you get a qualification and then you know what you're talking about, and you're very good at teaching me that is not.
And then Kaylee come along with zero qualifications and zero books read. But yeah, no,
but
I,
you think that that's a negative, but actually what you've ended up doing is finding ways that you learn from other people so naturally. And you don't expect it to be that you're only going to learn from somebody who's clever and has letters after their name and whatever else, which is a real downside of kind of how I learning differently now. And that's really helpful.
Yeah. What I would love to end with is, if you are local and you are listening to this, maybe this is your first time listening, go check out some of the others where you can see other local Raynham people doing cool, amazing things. And I guess just reach out and tell us where you're at and let us come and join you and come and learn from you and kind of connect with you and have a cup of tea with you, because we would love that. And if you're outside of Raynham and you're listening in and you're thinking, I want a bit of this, then you want to delve a little bit deeper, then get in touch. We'd love to chat to new people.
There's a town WhatsApp community, isn't there? Or an EcoHub WhatsApp community. So even just chatting on that and meeting other people from other places is cool.
It is really, really good. So for now,
just do it. If you've got an itch and you think, shall I do it?
That's been trademarked. Can't nick that.
How can I not? If you've got an itch.
Oh, no, just do it.
Oh, just do it.
We have now trademarked, have you got an itch?
If you've got an itch,
just do it.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Raynham Eco Hub's Tread Lightly podcast. If, like us, you're trying to be more sustainable, then like and subscribe to get notified when we release new episodes, or even better, share with your friends and family. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and thank you for joining us. Stay safe, keep going, and find us on socials. Cheers, guys.